Morning. How's everyone doing?
Good morning. Good. Hope your weekend was good.
Oh, it was amazing.
That's good.
Thank you for asking that about yours.
It was good.
Good. Well, we're gonna go ahead and dive in. And thank you for last week. I apologize. It's just was not able to beyond due to the travel, and it would have been hard, especially because I was 3 hour difference. So I wanted to start off the lesson. So it's kind of thinking as I was preparing, and the Bible verse I'm going to share kind of came to mind when we think about, safety and rest, and just coming off my honeymoon, just the sort of joy of being able to get some rest, and not only rest for our body, but rest for the soul and for the spirit, and just the power. And how God speaks about the importance of rest. And so I wanted to kind of share, and the title came to me probably a few days ago in regards to safe haven. And I didn't get a chance to look up haven, but it's kind of like the concept of the sanctuary, where a lot of times people, when they'll go into a church for, a sense of sanctuary, which kind of allows them to feel safe and protected. And when we think about safe haven, that's really what comes to mind. We just want a sense of safety, because when we don't have that sense of safety, we live in fear, we live in anxiety, and we live in worry. And in a world where Christ says, there will be trouble in this world, but it's going to be okay because I've overcome the world. And I think about that in light of what does that mean for us? We can try to create safety in our own realm, and in regards to having housing and living in safe neighborhoods and things such as that. But there's so much that we can't control, i.e., storms and different things and crimes and different things like that. So, in a lot of sense, the sense of safety on our own is very challenging. It's unpredictable and uncertain because we can't control everything, and God can. Then I think about it from a standpoint of what Christ was teaching and some of the things throughout the scripture that God talks about. Ultimate safety really comes in relationship with God. And it was a verse I was thinking about in. I'm gonna forget where it's at exactly, but it basically says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee." And ultimately, when we are in a relationship with God, we are ultimately protected. And so, it's interesting. One of my favorite verses. Many of us probably know this verse, Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus is speaking. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Take my yoke, and just to help you all understand conceptually what a yoke is, because they live in agricultural farming time, a yoke is basically that which was put on the cattle. So when they moved as one, and they were able to accomplish more. So when Jesus talks about his yoke, he's talking about put Jesus upon yourself and learn from me, because he ultimately is the teacher. He also strengthens us and carries us often. I think about the verses, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And very interesting when he says that, because when we're weary and burdened, it's usually because we're under a lot of stress and we're fearful. And often we isolate and we get into loneliness. And Christ is basically offering an extended hand of invitation to us that no matter what you're going through, I will be there for you. And it says, "I'm gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul," which is ultimately what we really all desire. Like when we were away on, last week, I needed that rest. It had been a challenging few weeks. And the rest for your souls helps to re-strengthen your body. It says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Because the last thing we need is a more burden upon us when we're weary and heavy laden. And I think about that and start with that because we are looking for rest. Often we are very weary because of the things that we've ch been challenged by. We're weary in our soul primarily because our thinking gets fearful and anxious. And of course, that ultimately affects our body. And then our body wears down. And so I also think about Psalms 23, and it's interesting. I liken it to someone obviously who comes to Christ in the sense of Matthew 11, but Psalms 23, this is David speaking, and he's going through challenges, but it's interesting. In the challenges, there is ultimate peace because he's being surrounded, guided, led, protected by the shepherd. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And right there is very so united to Matthew 11, because Christ knows when we're weary, when we're burdened, and he wants to give us rest because he knows in relationship with him, we will be restored. And same thing here with David. David understands the Lord is my shepherd. Often he's going to force us to get the rest. Hopefully, we will comply. And he's going to lead us beside quiet waters to give us a, basically an illustration or a visual of what our soul needs. He says, he refreshes my soul with the rest. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake, even though I walk through the darkest valley. So no matter what we're going through, God is there protecting us and guiding us. It says, I will fear no evil, which is our tendency when we're in the valley and when we're going through challenging times. We're going to fear evil. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I always struggle with that verse because it's like, I don't want to be in the presence of my enemies. But when we're in the presence of our enemies, what emotion is stirred up? Fear, anxiety. And God knows that. And he's trying to tell David, no matter what you're going through, no matter who's coming after you, I'm going to prepare a table. I'm going to make sure that everything is fine, even in the presence of your enemies. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows, which is a symbol or a visual of a blessing and prosperity. In the midst of whatever David is going through in this time, he is being blessed because he knows that God's with him. He said, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So circumstantially, David's going through a challenging time, but in his mind and in his heart, he knows that God is faithful because God has always been there for him, no matter what he's gone through, the good times, the bad times. And then I was thinking, as I was praying the lessons, like, how do we get into the protection of God? How do we get there? And I went immediately to Proverbs 1. It says, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. When we understand that God blesses obedience and then curses come in disobedience, we understand that in the garden, it was the knowledge of good and evil. Prior to the fall of man, all man knew was good. God ultimately wants us to pursue goodness and righteousness because he knows under the protection that he has established, he will bless those that seek him. And when we don't seek him, it's because we have foolishness in our heart, or we have sin in our heart, or we don't fear God. And fear God, from the standpoint of understanding, because when we think of fear, we always see it in a negative light. The fear of the Lord is a proper sense of authority, a proper sense of how we view God in light of who we are. We don't fear him in regards to run away from him. We fear him because we just glorify him, recognize that he is such a loving God, and the Psalms are just strewn with that. And so when you think about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, there's a healthy sense of fear. We as parents understand that. Because we often tell our kids, we're gonna put the fear of the Lord in you, but it's really so that they would be obedient, not obedient necessarily to us being an authority figures. Always obedience comes in the realm of protection. So it's very important we understand that when God says to be obedient, it's not he's saying, I told you do it. It's because if you are disobedient, then you're falling outside the realm of protection. And I'm going to try to help you guys have some understanding of that and through different things in the scripture. That's why this verse is very important. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of not just the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So fools, people who do not want to seek God, do not want to pursue God, are not going to seek wisdom, not going to be seek instruction. They're not going to listen to others in regards to helping them. We see that in Psalms 1. When he says, "Do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Do not pursue the wicked. Pursue God." And when you pursue God and you meditate upon his word day and night, then you will be blessed. So you see the contrast between good and evil. It exists throughout the scripture. As I kind of study the scripture, it's like there's such a clear pattern. God is trying to get man back into relationship with him because he knows when we are in a relationship with him, hence what Jesus says, take my yoke upon me. Then you will be protected. Then you will be blessed. And that's what ultimately God wants as his, as we as his children. And that's the same thing with parents. And so it's interesting, we see a perfect picture of this, of the prodigal son. Prodigal son was in relationship with his father, had a brother. We're not getting into the story of the brother. But basically, he almost, it's almost like a temptation in the garden. He thought like, I had this inheritance from my father. There's probably some things outside of, with that money I can do that I'm not getting currently. And so he basically pursued pleasure, like we all do, pursued sin outside of the realm of the protection of the father. And he asked for his inheritance. The father gave him an inheritance. He then left, squandered his money. He was used and taken advantage by so many people because they were looking to him to provide. With the money that he gave. And then ultimately he ended up with the pig. So he found out the consequences of disobedience or straying outside the protection of God. And he knew even if he came back to the father as a slave, he was going to be under the realm of protection. Plus, he was going to have provisions needed. So he humbled himself, broken because of his sin, came back to his father. Of course, his father rejoiced because ultimately the father knew how much he loved the son. He wasn't going to shame the son. So it's a perfect picture of what God wants from us. Understand. And it's interesting to see the father didn't go after the son. The son was on his own. And of course, whatever happened to him were the consequences of his own choices. Same thing here. We often blame God, but really it's the consequences of our own choices. And God is saying, you come back in a relationship with me, you will be completely protected. And so that's very interesting when you look at it in light of what God is desiring for us, which is in relationship. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And Psalms 36 says, I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. God so clearly outlines the difference within our own heart. Those that pursue sinfulness, those that have the mind of the, in the sense, there's another scripture in the New Testament talks about if your mind is on the flesh, you will exhibit these kind of behaviors, which of course are sinful. When your mind is on the spirit in sense of obedience to God, so it's disobedience, obedience. You see the clear decision of what we're going to choose. Are we going to choose obedience, hence the mind and the spirit, or are we going to choose disobedience, hence the mind and the flesh? And so David is saying, I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Go back to Proverbs 1. When there's no fear, the tendency is to disobey because we are not fearful of the consequences of our action. But of course, as you sow, so shall you reap. Always will there be consequences for actions. There's no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves. Hence, when we have no fear of God, the very element of pride seeps in because we don't feel like we're going to be punished. That's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. Too much, in their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. Once we start heading in the direction of disobedience and sin, what ends up happening, it's like going into a room. If the light is on, you can see clearly. But if the light is off, it's very hard to see. So the discernment and recognizing sin is harder because you're now heading into darkness. And that's why Proverbs 1 is says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Once you have fear, obedience, and sense you want to pursue God, you're going to begin to recognize and discern what's sin and disobedience and what is obedience. This is the words of their mouth are wicked and deceitful. Hence, when our thoughts are wicked, we're pursuing the flesh. It's going to manifest in our behavior. So that's where it says the words of the mouth are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Even on their beds, they plot evil. They commit themselves to sinful course and do not reject what is wrong. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens and your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains and justice like the greatest deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And I wanted to point that out because when we take refuge in the shadow of you, we are under God's protection. When we are disobedient and we are sinful, we get outside of the realm of disobedience. I mean, we get outside of the realm of the protection of God. And God is calling us back, hence the parable of the prodigal son, also the parable of the lost coin. Jesus talks about the lost sheep. He will go after that one lost sheep to bring him back into the fold, because he understands a lost sheep, hence us, what's going to happen to us in regards to our disobedience. Please take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. In Psalms 37, 27 and 28, 39 and 40, turn from evil and do good. God is begging us and asking us, almost like a parent, turn from evil and do good, because the evil is going to lead you down a path that is going to create harm, pain, and ultimately death. And he understands if you pursue righteousness, if you pursue that which is good, you will benefit from that. Then you will dwell in the land forever when you do good. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. And I wanted to include this last verse because if you want to break the Bible down into like one verse, this is it right here. I think it's not to oversimplify, but really, and I don't know if anybody's ever read through the Bible, there's so much in there. And Solomon, just to give you historical, Solomon was the son of David, and he was chosen as king. And it's interesting, typically, in the Jewish nation, the firstborn would be the son. And Solomon was not the firstborn. He was just chosen by God to be the king after David had passed on. And one of the things Solomon was mentioned in scripture as the wisest man. He, for a good part of his life, he pursued God, but he was ultimately led astray because of temptation in regards to sexual sin. But when he had pursued everything in order for ple in order in the sense of pleasure, he came to this conclusion. He says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." Very simple, hard to do, simply because we have that sin nature, simply because we have temptations, simply because we are so focused and love ourselves more than we love God. That's why it's so important when Jesus said, you know, these are the two greatest commandments: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love others as we love ourselves. Point being, it has to be in that order, simply because if we love ourselves more than God, we tend towards pride. And when we tend towards pride, we're in darkness and we tend towards sin. But when we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, we then have a right perspective how we love ourselves in a very healthy manner. And then, of course, then we fear God because we have that right perspective and authority. And that's why it's so important. And keeping his commandments, we don't want to keep his commandments simply because we want to be able to free the choice to do what we want to do. But God put these commandments in place simply to protect us. And when we understand everything flows out of the love, then of course, when we love God, we want to obey him. So the real challenge is, do we really want to obey? And then, of course, it becomes of the question, do we really love God? And I wanted to put it that simple, because then it gets to a point that we get to where Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, because the key point is us. We get in the way. And Paul's saying we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, and that we turn from the world. And by doing that, we then spend time in God's word. And that's when our mind is transformed and we are accurately able to see truth. And when I say truth, we're accurately able to discern God's word and, of course, know his will for our lives. Because ultimately, God is in charge. He wants to use us for his great purposes. And that only comes as we surrender and yield to him with a proper perspective on loving him and fearing him. And, of course, keeping his commandments. Because God wants to communicate with us mostly through his word. And when we're obedient, we're following his commandments because he's leading us somewhere. Because when you look at it from a time perspective, past, present, and future, we only exist in present. We've existed in the past, but we now live in present. In order for us to know the future, God knows the future. We don't know the future. We can plan for the future, but we have to follow him every step of the way. Hence Proverbs chapter 3, the whole verse, chapter talks about trusting God, leaning not under all in our own understanding, but acknowledging him, and he will direct our paths. Almost like he's holding our hands, going back to what David experienced in Psalms 23. Thy rod and thy staff, they protect me. And so when we understand that God's desire is we draw in relationship with him and we are safe, the safe haven is in relationship with him. So I'm going to kind of break so we can get in some songs. And these are some beautiful songs, just worshipful songs, understanding that apart from God, and we're going to get into this afterwards, apart from God, Jesus says, apart from him, we can do nothing. And when we understand that everything God wants to bring in the sense of our future, our hope, is found in relationship with him. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for just cutting through so much of confusion that we would just keep our eyes upon you and recognize all that you've done for us. And Lord, that we would just have such a deep love for you. I think about the verse, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so our souls may pant after thee and desire you more. And apart from anything else, Lord, we just thank you and give you praise. I'm going to share the first song. It's called Safe in the Covering. Now, understand, just before I start the songs, another verse came to mind is the enemy, Satan, walks about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. When we are apart from God, then we are in his realm in regards to what he can do. His desire, much like the Israelites in Egypt, is keep them enslaved. If he can control our mind, we then will be controlled by him and enslaved by him. And that's why it's so important we stay in the safety realm of God, because only God can protect us from from that which is of the spiritual realm. Okay, got that.
I have found
in the covering of the Lord. I have found peace and rest for my soul. It is here that I know my confidence is sure. I am safe in the covering of the Lord. I am safe.
Next song is Here With Me.
Once upon a time, when people were kind and love was forever.
Then
So sweet. I don't know if they're dad and daughter, but they sure look like it. It's so tender. Next song is based on Psalms 91, which is to shelter. Song's called Shelter Me.
Under your wings, every whisper.
That popped in my head as that song was finishing up. In your presence is fullness of joy. And without getting too philosophical, I just find it very interesting. When we think about a concept of God who's all good, and it's interesting when I think one of the Pharisees came or somebody came to Jesus and said, "It's good, master." And he said, "Only God is good." When we think of God being good, and what comes out of goodness is typically, and these are also the fruits of the spirit, are the emotions that we all desire, all want. And when we think about the opposite of good, which is evil, which we have that knowledge of because of the sin of Adam and Eve, the emotions that come out of that are horrible, anxiety, fear. Which to me leans towards a deeper understanding of who God is and why he's pursuing us into relationship, because it does not want us to experience those negative emotions that ultimately, in a weird sort of way, they actually draw us back to God if we're willing to allow those experiences to do that. Oftentimes the enemy's ploy is to leave people in so discouraged they want to end their life. But I just pray. I mean, these songs are absolutely beautiful, but God is desiring us into a relationship with him so that we can experience the fullness of all that he has to offer. And that only comes in the context of relationship with him. It only comes in the context of what he's asking of us. And that is that we be obedient, not simply because he's God, but simply because he as a father knows that obedience comes blessings, comes everything, comes protection. And when we look at it from the standpoint of, and as the song's been playing, I've been looking at it from a father and mother perspective. And no matter how old our child is, in times of trouble, our children come back to us and often need us. And it's such a clear picture of who God is. Obviously, the protection of parents for children is greatest when they're younger and not as mature. And of course, once they get that point of maturity, they kind of go out on their own, but they always want, believe they can come back and come back to their parents, not necessarily to live with them, but come back into relationship and seek counsel. And it's no different. It's just a perfect picture of who God is for us. And so the last song, and I think I kind of liken this to when we, our children get outside and they're on their own, and the noise gets louder, and we often want to quiet the noise down, and we want to be still and hear and know that God, who God is. So the last song is called "Quiet the Noise."
My chest is tight, the room is spinning. Lord, I need you right now. The clock is ticking, but I'm frozen in place. I've got 100 racing thoughts I can't erase. The walls are closing in, the air is getting thin. I'm fighting invisible battles that I cannot win. I don't need a sermon, I don't need a crown. I just need the voices to stop being so loud.
quiet the noise, Lord, calm the sea. Put your heavy hand of peace right over me. Tell the wind to stop, tell the panic to leave. I just need a second to catch my breath and breathe. I'm sinking in the deep. I've lost my voice. Jesus, please quiet the noise. They tell me not to worry. They tell me just to pray. But the shadow in my mind cage of fear. Quiet the noise, Lord, calm the sea. Put your heavy hand of peace right over me. Tell the wind to stop, tell the panic to leave. I just need a second to catch my breath and breathe. I'm sinking in the deep. I've lost my voice. Jesus, please.
I think I shared it, the verses, be still and know that I am God. In those times when we just feel like the noise is so loud, and it's often, and I think about the verse in the New Testament says, we were not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And the number one weapon the enemy uses, those darts that they talk about, as a visual illustration, are going for two locations, our head and our heart. And it's interesting that the very protective nature, the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, very similar, because in our own mind, in our, this, the brain is protected by the skull. And of course, the heart is protected by the ribs. It's a physical illustration of God's protection over those two vital organs. And they're important because that's where he's trying to get at. He's trying to get at our minds. That's why Paul says that we are to be not to pursue the world, and we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because Paul understood how deceptive and how the enemy is a liar. And if we begin to believe the lies, just like Adam and Eve did, it's going to affect our emotions, it's going to affect our actions, and ultimately it's going to affect the relationship with God. And truth is a very clear thing, but we often get clouded as to what truth is a lot because we're not listening to God. We're not spending time meditating upon his word day and night, because in the context of relationship, we all know this, we just don't practice it. If you want a great relationship with your spouse or your children or friends, it's in the context of quality and quantity. When we spend time with God and we truly understand who he is, not from a victim mentality, why God? We're going to get into some of that, because often God allows certain things to happen because he's drawn us into a relationship. He has big plans for us, and he needs to make sure that our character is developed correctly, because when we were created in the image of God via his character. When Adam and Eve disobeyed, that character was flawed, because now we have the knowledge of good and evil. Our life is prevalent with that knowledge of evil, the tendency to do wrong. God has drawn us back into relationship because only he can fix that problem. Only he can develop our character, which is why he allows those things to happen to us. Because as we surrender, God will mold our character in conformity to Christ. Because Christ, the interesting thing, Christ was God and man at the same time. He showed us how to do it. He is the example, which is why when he went to his death on the cross, he wasn't fearful because he knew he was in the protection of God because of he was being obedient. The protection of God, even in the question of why, God, why are you allowing me to go through this? He knew God was still protecting him, even though he was being crucified. So it's crazy to think about, but when you go back to what I started with in Matthew, so Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I wanted to pull up a particular verse while the songs were playing that spoke to me. And this is basically the author of Hebrews is kind of unknown. We think it's Paul, but he talks about the rest and he's using the Israelites as an example. And so the Israelites were released from slavery from Egypt, went through the desert in about 2 weeks' time to the border of the Promised Land. And the Promised Land was basically God's promise to them that he had made with Abraham 400 years earlier, that he was going to deliver them out of bondage and deliver them to the Promised Land, a land of flowing with milk and honey, which is basically another way of saying prosperity. And if they were obedient, and understand, he gave them daily miracles and to just to show them who he was. And even in the midst of all of that, the miracles happening every day, they still disobeyed. And because of their disobedience, they were not able to enter into the Promised Land, or in a sense, another word for it is God's rest. And so in Hebrews 4, it says, therefore, well, let me put my camera on. So it says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Bottom line is they did not have a proper fear of God. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God had said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. That was basically God's the consequences of their disobedience. They were not able to enter the Promised Land. And yet his works had been finished since the creation of the world, for somewhere he had spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter the rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of the disobedience, God again set a certain day, called it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will be perished by following the example of disobedience. So it's interesting when Jesus says, you know, to come unto me and I will give you rest. He's talking about, and it's interesting because it goes into it here in John 15, in a relationship with Jesus. When we are in a relationship with Jesus, we take on his strength. We take on his obedience. And that's why Paul says that we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves, we surrender ourselves to God in obedience. And then, of course, we turn away from the world and we turn towards God and spend time with him in a relationship through his word, through the Holy Spirit. He reveals his word on how we are to proceed in obedience. That's why Matthew 6:33 is so vital. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is the sense of the knowledge of God. That is the word of God, kingdom of God. It is the spiritual realm. That's, remember I said, we don't war against flesh and blood. We war against principalities. In our obedience is where comes the victory. When we are disobedient, we basically surrender to the enemy. But God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which basically means his goodness, and all these things shall be added unto you, which are the blessings, which are the prosperity. Everything that God wants to give us comes in the realm of obedience, choosing God over self. And John 15 Jesus talks about. This is a visual illustration of the role of the Father and the role of Jesus in regards to relationship with him. It says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. My Father is the vine dresser. So as the Father God, as the creator, as the one who is shaping us to be more like Christ, when you look at a vine dresser, he's the one that basically takes care of the vineyard. And part of anything having to do with it, if you know anything about vineyards, if you know anything about planting, there's a pruning process. That pruning process is so that they would be more fruitful. Often that pruning process is very painful. But understand, if that pruning process did not occur, the vines would be overrun and they would not bear the fruit. Because ultimately, God's ultimate goal is for us to bear fruit. That fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, that we would experience love, joy. Remember, in your presence come fullness of joy. It says, I'm the true vine. My Father's a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes. He's trying to conform our character so that we would be obedient, much like Christ was, so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. You are already clean because of the word. Let me explain that. We are cleansed in our thoughts and in our hearts as we allow God's word to penetrate us because it's true. I didn't read it, but in Hebrews chapter 4, it says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the soul. And God's word is what cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teachings which I have discussed with you. Remain in me, in relationship, in protection. The picture of Psalms 23. Allow God to protect us in the realm of obedience. It said, remain in me, and I will remain in you, just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining by the vine. Neither can you bear fruit, producing evidence of your faith, unless you remain in me. Another picture right here is the prodigal son. When the prodigal son left the father, did not remain in relationship with the father, and then, of course, consequences and pain were inflicted upon him by his own choices. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Relationships, they're basically one, if you can just picture that. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, which is God's ultimate goal. So we benefit in relationship, but we also benefit in regards to what we receive from that relationship. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Otherwise, apart from me, that is cut off from me, vital union with me, can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a broken branch and withers and dies, and they gather such branches, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Basically, what he's saying is, when you don't remain in me, the natural consequences of your choices to be apart from me are going to lead to a lot of pain. I always lose my spot. If anyone does not remain, he is thrown out and withers. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, that is vitally united. My message lives in your heart. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is gifted and honored by this. When you bear much fruit and prove yourself to be my true disciple, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in me, remain in my love, and do not doubt my love for you. If you keep my commandments, obey my teaching, you will remain in my love. Right there is the connection with love and obedience. I don't have a lot more time to go into. We're going to get into in regards to how God uses certain situations in regards to trials to conform us. And it's interesting, we don't often see this connection, but once we see it, we can't unsee it. And part of it is Christ is saying, when you remain in me, even when you go through trials, you will experience the presence of the Lord, i.e. Psalm 23. When David was going through those challenges, he was at peace because he knew God was there. And when we get to the point of recognizing through the power of surrendering, recognize that God is with us no matter what the circumstances, recognize that God is allowing the trials to strengthen us and actually draw us into a deeper relationship, almost like we're impenetrable, and like we can't be harmed because we are allowing God to work in us, to conform us in response to whatever's coming at us, because that is the one thing we can control. And as we surrender, we're actually made stronger in that, in this kind of weird sort of way. But please know God is drawing everything in regards to what he wants for us is in relationship with him. And when we're in relationship with him, i.e. spending time with him, getting to know him, knowing his word, we are completely safe no matter what's happening. That's why you see the picture of Jesus in the storm in the boat and he's sleeping peacefully, because he knew that he was safe no matter what the circumstances around him. And ultimately, that's what we all want. We would love to be able to go to the beach and all these wonderful places to get that rest, and that's fine. But ultimately, life is all about having that time of rest and having the storms. But if we have the peace like Jesus did, it was in the context of relationship, knowing that the Father always had his back. And ultimately, that's what we all desire. So we want that safe haven. It comes when we draw in a relationship with God, when we surrender, when we spend time with him, and we truly allow his word to bring us that peace. As Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are labor and weary, I will give you the rest that you need. The rest comes as we surrender, as we're obedient. And of course, the flowing of those wonderful emotions, which a lot of those are the fruits of the Spirit, come, which we all desire that. So let me go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice he made that we could have a relationship with you. May you continue to watch over us, keep us safe. May we do everything we can to glorify you. May you continue to guide our steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great one.